Confession number 16427, Major Thomas Ward, Reel 9.
Major Ward, Reel 9. Can you remember anything about the content of the Echo Operation course?
Not in detail, no. But
did you go up again in aircraft during?
We went, yes. That was part of the course again. I think it was from the same airfield for the photographic. Because they were both in Tel Aviv, these courses.
I think your next change, though, was not to liaison, but you became a company commander.
That's right. I didn't go back to brigade headquarters. Obviously, they'd got this job in mind for me. But I was sent back to the battalion, which was exciting. They were in the Ghazala line.
When you rejoined them?
When I rejoined them.
Do you know why it was that they decided to put you in command of a company?
No, I don't, actually. Well, I was a captain, and I suppose it was because there was a company needing a commander. But it wasn't really. I'd have rather have been a deputy commander of a company, you know, somebody who, under somebody who'd been there for some time.
Were you able to consult other company commanders?
Yes. There were old friends of mine in the battalion. There'd been changes. But quite honestly, I was very pleased to you know, renew my acquaintance there on that. And it was a static period for a while. In fact, I got the job of being defending a soldier who'd fallen asleep during the night, keeping an eye on the minefields.
He was a sentry.
He was a sentry. And that was a new experience for me. And he had to be court-martialed, and, you know, quickly, but...
What could you say in his defence?
Not a lot, but... I'm not a solicitor or a barrister or anything like that. I had no experience whatsoever of defending anybody. You know, under the circumstances, you do your best.
What happened to him?
He was forgiven, I think, under the circumstances. I think he was a good soldier. I got that impression. Anybody can fall asleep if he's very tired. But, you know, it could have been very serious because patrolling was important from there. I did some patrolling. I took patrols out to contact the enemy from the Ghazala line, which was a good experience.
What size would you take out? How many men?
Oh, under these, about half a dozen, yes.
Were these reconnaissance patrols, or
yes,
were they...?
Yeah, to keep, just to make sure that we knew where the enemy were, to try and observe whether there was any unusual activity, because it was anticipated that they were to attack us sometime.
Did you go out by night or by day?
Yes, by night.
By night.
It was... a pretty eerie experience going through our own minefields. Do this. But we had channels.
Were they marked or did you have
to
use maps?
Taped.
Taped.
Taped. or there was an identification here and there, you know. But yes,
when you went
different from being an intelligence officer at Gate Headquarters.
But presumably you knew about principles of reconnaissance patrolling being an IO.
Oh, yes.
How, when you went out on such a patrol, roughly how far would you go? What sort of distance do you think you covered?
Well, sometimes about a mile, because they were fairly well back. But that's not very far in the desert, and particularly with the Germans, who are so mobile.
Did you always go out on foot, or did you ever take a vehicle? You were just on foot patrol?
No, never on a vehicle, no. No, this was a crawling job, you know. Well, not crawling, but it was... We didn't want to be
silent patrol. A silent patrol.
Yes.
How long would it take you? How long would you spend actually on a patrol if you went out at night?
About an hour, I think. Yes, depends. I think once we had to lie up, thought we'd been spotted, you know. But didn't want to be spotted, naturally. Yes, good experience then.
What could you actually see or hear of the enemy when you went out at night?
Well, you can see their vehicles. Very difficult to, at ground level, very difficult to camouflage a vehicle. I know you've got camouflage netting, but that's still, if you're at ground level, you can see them against the skyline. If they're not expecting you or anybody, then there are people moving about. The danger is meeting their own patrols. But we didn't, as I remember.
Was the enemy in that sector German or Italian?
Immediately opposite, it was Italian. So they had a very... we got a very low impression of the Italians, you know. But they all had guns and things like that, so they were still dangerous.
What was their security like? Were they careful to...
The Italians were more careless than the Germans.
They were?
Yes, but Germans were very careful. The Germans were very, very good soldiers.
In what ways were the Italians careless? How did this show?
Well, it's their... an Italian is very different to a German. They're, not so dour, and they're not necessarily so disciplined.
I mean, did they show lights at night, or did they?
No, I don't remember.
Did they make noises or anything of that sort?
Noise carries a long way in the desert. Mm. That's why we had to be so quiet. Yes.
And did you detect signs of activity at all, or unusual activity?
Well, nothing important, really.
When you went out on this sort of patrol, how did you decide which soldiers to take with you?
Well, you'd select a good NCO and consult him. We've been with the men for a long time.
Did you always take out the same men, or did you...
No. There were NCOs, of course, very skilled at patrolling, and because they'd done it many times. We were organised in two boxes, as they call them, in the Gazala line. One box was the 4th East Yorks, and Green Howards. The other box was the 5th East Yorks and the 6th and 7th Green Howards. Now the reason for that was that the terrain and the possibility that the battle could become like a naval battle, where it was easier perhaps for the enemy to go around the bottom than to come make a frontal attack.
So you had to have all-round defence?
Yes. Now when it all blew up, the Italians did a frontal attack on our box and suffered heavy casualties.
What caused these heavy casualties?
Well, they just came...
They just came on straight
came
at
on,
you?
Yes.
Was your company in the front line?
It was, yes. There, yes. Then there was a lull for a while, and the Germans obviously decided to... Well, they were attacking... the Germans were attacking the other box, as I remember, and I'm afraid got the 4th East Yorks got a severe hammering, and... lost several, and there were several captured, and I think that applied to the Green Howards as well, with them in their brigade. But our brigadier decided that we'd move south, would they send a column south, because the Germans were going south. Now that happened to be a good decision from a point of view. The Germans did actually manage to come round and surprise the cooks round the back, you know. So then it was very serious. But it so happened that the brigadier's decision to move south as well was beneficial in the end. It seemed impossible at the time, but we didn't get so many casualties as the other box. The Germans were very strong.
I'd like to ask a bit more about the positions in the box. How was your company actually deployed and laid out on the ground when in the box?
Well, each battalion, see, we're talking about 3 battalions there in that box. They had a section of that box. And all knew the possibility of the Germans coming around the back, because it was possible, we knew, from the terrain. That, and it was a fairly long line, was the Gazala line, but the Germans had obviously done their homework, and they decided that was the best thing to do. Mm. But they did actually push the Italians into a frontal attack. Mm. I suppose that was a diversion.
It was to pin one box while they attacked the other,
yes.
Presumably. But, I mean, what sort of front did your company have to cover? How long was its frontage?
I can't really remember, really.
And was the company at full strength when you took them over?
Yes, I think so, yes. Mm. It was just at this time when a signal came through for me.
But this was the signal to post you out?
Yes. Mm.
But, I mean, do you remember what sort of positions they had? Had they dug in, or did they have sangers, for example?
Well, they were dug in, yes.
Were dug in. What was the ground like? Was it sand or rock? Or?
Soft sand here and there, and then hard rocks. Mm. But...
Did you have wire? Was,
pardon?
Did you have, I know you had mines.
Mines, mines.
And any wire, or just mines?
Yes, there was wire. When we went out on patrols, we had to get, go through gaps.
Through your
the
wire.
Gaps, we knew, yes. But that really didn't do very much good, I suppose.
Mm. Why was that?
Well, it was the weight of the attacks,
Did you actually see the Italians attacking when they came up to the...
No, I didn't personally.
Mm. And did they have
but
any...
Our machine gunners were alert on this, and they really...
Did they attack in daylight?
First light, I think.
First light. Did they have any artillery in support of them?
We were shelled.
You were shelled?
We were shelled.
And did that bombardment come down accurately on your positions?
I suppose we were fairly lucky at that. Yes, well, there were... But I suppose I was a survivor again. Mm. But it was all a very good experience for me, and I was very lucky to be withdrawn from this.
Do you know how close the Italians actually got to our dug-in positions when they were doing this frontal assault?
Well, they were around the back.
Oh, they were coming around, trying
they
to get
around
the back.
Back, yes. Mm. And so it was round the box, but
they
didn't we managed through the tactic of the brigadier. Eventually, we broke out, and suffered casualties, no doubt.
On the way out.
Yes.
Had you gone by that time?
I was going. Mm. Yes, but I couldn't get out to begin with. Mm. No, I mean, it was the wrong time to be.
Wrong time to be called away.
To be moving, wasn't it? Mm. But I was delighted that this had come through, of course. Mm. And just quite wondering what happened next time. Well, obviously, got out with the column, and I was told to report to an airstrip, which actually was being evacuated. Yes, that's right. But, yes, being evacuated, and I had to go on further, and, well, yes, several days. But I was in a vehicle, and we pressed on. But eventually... got a lift in an aircraft from somewhere.
When the column broke up, was it all in vehicles?
No. Oh, well, yes, some of it, but infantry on foot as well. Oh. Yes. Yes.
Did they break out?
But the problem was that, the Germans had tanks. And that was the usual problem with the infantry, This was before the Shermans arrived and all the rest of it.
Presumably you had certain anti-tank weapons in the battalions.
Yes, but they were not so effective then. They developed before later, really.
What about your artillery support? Presumably you had...
There was some, yes, but they were further back, and of course they withdrew as well. It was confusing. The Gazala line was important. We stopped the Germans advancing and established a fortress at Tobruk, which on the way back we bypassed, and the fortress was left there. Now that was an inconvenience for the Germans. We were all, because we had troops in Tobruk, they were South Africans, I think, yes, weren't they? Yes. Under Colonel Klopper, if I remember rightly. There was a danger for the Germans, purposely, passing Tobruk and finding the South Africans behind them, of course. That's really what they... But it turned out that we had to lose Tobruk eventually.
But you, I mean, meantime, did you eventually get picked up by an aircraft after moving?
I got back to a fighter airfield or airstrip. I can't remember which, but squadron it was. But I had to report to the South African wing, Colonel Wilmot.
This was the 211th Air Liaison Section.
That's what I was, yes. Mm. The only member, you know.
You were the only, you were it.
Well, I was. That was me.
Yes.
But later I got my equipment and things like that. But this was my first job with the South Africans, which I thoroughly enjoyed. That was the Boston Bombers.
And you were located at the... At the bomber station.
That's right. I got there and reported to Colonel Wilmot. And first thing to do was to contact Army headquarters, the
8th Army headquarters.
The 8th Army headquarters, and tell them I'd arrived and were getting installed. Of course, that's where the signal came from, and then it was trying to support the retreating troops to El Alamein. Now that was it was extremely difficult to follow the confusion, really, the situation, and describe it to the Air Force. I got as much information as I could. But
how did you get the information? Was this coming through 8th Army?
8th Army headquarters. Quarters.
Who did you liaise with there?
Colonel Jock McNeil.
And what was he?
He was a G2 Air at Army headquarters, a regular soldier, and then this started. I've got original messages I sent eventually from the South African wing after I'd briefed them to go out and support the retreating troops, which is very difficult indeed, because we couldn't really drop any bombs or anything like that, because our staff might be our own troops.
Is this because the...
So we had to go fairly well back, and knowing that it must be the enemy. But everything was moving. The Germans were moving forward, we were moving back. And there's just one road in the Western Desert. Everybody wanted to get on this one road. Now you can imagine the fighter wing did a magnificent job during this period, because it was very important. We got a degree of control over the in the air, so they wouldn't strafe our troops retreating. And this did happen. There wasn't an opportunity really for close support bombing or strafing.
Because our troops were intermingled with the enemy?
Well, because they were on the move all the time. There was absolutely nose to tail convoys coming back on the road. And if the Germans had more strength in the air, it would have been murder, but they didn't. Our fighters, actually led by Battle of Britain pilots, did the same job, if you like. They gradually got control of the air, and that made it easier for close support bombing later when we got static at El Alamein. But during this period, it was very, very important that we kept the Germans away from our bombing our troops retreating.
Was there any way in which ground troops could signal to our aircraft that they were actually ours rather than enemy?
Yes, there are ways, but you must remember that this was confusion on the ground, the retreat. It wasn't an orderly retreat, really. It was one unit getting mixed up with another. And concentrated on the road, mainly. But vehicles going off the road in certain areas, they got bogged down in the sand. That's what made it so difficult.
You couldn't tell friend from foe from the air?
Well, didn't try and identify them. It was too dangerous. But the Air Force information we got back from the, in my case, from the South Africans was magnificent, really, because when they were sent out, they were briefed. Now, if you see columns, tell us where they are, how many vehicles. If you see tanks, tell us where they are, and that kind of thing. And I have actually, in my records, my original signals I sent to Army headquarters from the debriefing, and that proved invaluable.
So, in effect, these bombers were also doing reconnaissance work.
They were,
at the same
yes.
time. So you were helping 8th Army build up a picture of where the enemy were.
Well, that was the idea.
That was the idea.
And as the pilots got used to the idea of watching, they were told what to report if they saw it, and how many, to count the vehicles. Tell me which way the vehicles were moving. See, there were columns of Germans moving south from Gazala, for instance, and probably coming round to cut off some of our troops who were moving on the road. That's what we had to
watch. That movement.
Yes, and then the army would decide how to combat that.
What sort of targets could the bombers attack during this fluid phase?
They had to be very careful, but as long as it was far enough away, it was safe.
What sort of safety margin did you normally...
Well, we knew that it wasn't beyond... our troops were not beyond Gazala, we knew that.
So anything the other side of Gazala was fair game.
And then, of course, we knew that we were going to defend Tobruk. Now, so we knew that... well, we knew their positions at Tobruk and so on,
but were they attacking targets predetermined, or were they attacking targets
but
of opportunity?
The Boston bombers, see, they were not really close support for strafing and bombing close to our troops. They were used to going in formations and dropping their bombs on groups of transport. That was their main...
So Ligas were the main...
Yes,
main
so it was
thing.
Important that I had as much information as possible to know that they were German vehicles and not our vehicles. But the biggest guide then was that were they moving towards El Alamein? If they were, they were possibly our vehicles retreating. And what was the position? Was there any possibility of them being Germans or our vehicles? If there was nothing certain, then we didn't do it. But these bombers went out and dropped their bombs, but really their value at this very